Good morning and welcome to those of you who are just dialing in. It's Coffee with the Coder, episode 72. We're so excited to have you with us today. Can't wait to get started. I will just mention really quick before I start throwing the questions over to our guest expert, Heather, today, who we love listening to, by the way. If you have not dialed in at 10 o'clock before today, you might want to try that. We have a portion that's called an insider's portion where there's some training that's done by one of our experts each time, just 5 to 7 minutes, and we'll be delighted for it. All you have to do to hear the training live is dial into the same number by 10 o'clock Eastern on the Monday that we're having the call. And you can join our private Facebook group by submitting your mugshot, which means you can get the replay of it in case for some reason you're not able to get in here on time. You'd be able to hear it as well. The other thing is the text notifications. We've got a nice group of folks who I'm texting, well, the staff, not just me. We're texting before the call in the hour prior to the call to let you know that it's today. And then if you're not a part of that and you would like to be text notified, you can reach out to us on Facebook or on email and let us know. Please text this number for me when the call is coming up. So let me let Heather say good morning before I start with questions. Hi, Heather.
Hi, good morning, everybody.
I loved your topic today, and I won't say it again, but I just loved it. So let's go up to the first question, and this is from our friend Ida. Ida is an insider. She usually calls in on the first part of the question, or the training part, and she has a question in ICD-10 PCS. I believe this is for a hospital perspective, and she's asking about laminectomies. She says, can you go over which instrumentation is separately reportable?
Sure. So for laminectomies or spinal fusion procedures in ICD-10 PCS, most instrumentation is not going to be reported separately because it's a part of the code description itself, and this includes devices like autologous tissue substitute, interbody fusion devices, internal fixation devices, non-autologous tissue substitute, and external fixation devices. Now, if a spinal fusion device is used in conjunction to a fusion, then that fusion device can be reported separately. And AHIMA indicates in the article, Coding Route Operations with ICD-10 PCS, Understanding Fusion, Alteration, and Creation, that some fusion procedures involve the insertion of a spinal stabilization device that is performed in conjunction with the placement of an interbody fusion device. Spinal stabilization devices, pedicle-based, include segmental and non-segmental spinal instrumentation, which provides stabilization to the posterior spine via the pedicles. Other terms that might be used to describe spinal stabilization devices include interspinous spacer or interspinous distraction device, and additional code for the insertion of the spinal stabilization device is assigned using the root operation of insertion.
Thank you. I know there was a little bit of confusion at getting started, and I think some of the people are getting very, very good at PCS now, so that's exciting. And now I've got an anonymous question from an inpatient rehab.
Okay.
And so I want to remind our audience that when you submit a question, you can come in anonymous or you can use your name. The benefit of using your name is that we do a drawing on each live call from the non-anonymous askers to give away our official Coffee with the Coder mug for that episode. And so because we don't want you to not ask a question, you're certainly welcome to ask it anonymously. And all that, the only thing is you're still in the running for having your question answered. You're just not in the running for the mug. So, and if there's any confusion on our part as to whether you ask it anonymously or not, it's going to be anonymous. Anyway, so this is in an inpatient rehab setting. And the person says, what would you code as the rehab admitting and principal diagnosis for this case? So the impression and plan is a 21-year-old female with PMH of non-epileptic seizure disorder, conversion disorder, chronic migraines, fibromyalgia, IBS, admitted to acute care for seizure activity and subsequent fall. The patient had breakthrough seizures while admitted. Neurology was consulted and adjusted the anti-epileptic medication. CT head and MRI head were negative for any acute process. Patient was then admitted to inpatient rehab. So in the rehab, the diagnosis is documented as gait or abnormality and ADL self-care deficits following fall after seizure. The physician also documents that the patient will start acute inpatient interdisciplinary rehab and will be able to tolerate the required amount of time, 3 hours a day, 5 or 6 days a week of PT and OT. So some of the comorbidities include psychogenic, non-epileptic seizures with a history of pituitary macroadenoma, migraine disorder, somatoform conversion disorder, muscle spasms, blurry and double vision, as well as other multiple comorbidities. The documentation also indicates that patient impairments include decreased strength, decreased endurance, and decreased balance. The expected length of stay is about 10 days, and the discharge disposition will be to home.
Okay, so it looks like the focus of care here is gait dysfunction due to a fall following a seizure, and that the neurologist was consulted for breakthrough seizures. Now, let's talk this through a little bit. IGC-16 for debility due to weakness, is that an option? Well, documentation does not capitalize on the admission due to weakness. Would you consider 13 for other debilitating conditions? Only if the documented underlying cause were conversion disorder. Now, the documentation submitted better supports the documented focus is dealing with the deficits from the seizure that's stated to cause the admission. The physician also stated that the patient has conversion disorder. Now, if I go to my ICD-10 guidelines, I automatically associate the conversion disorder to the seizures as the underlying cause. That would lead me to IGC-13. With other types of seizures, other IGCs might be considered, but in this case, 13 would be our choice.
Okay, and then they further ask, would you use the F44.5 conversion disorder with seizures or convulsions or seizures, or would you use R26.9 abnormality of gait as the admitting and principal on the UB?
So the rules for reporting the principal diagnosis say that if it still exists, it would be reported. So F44.5 for the conversion disorder is appropriate in this case. When you look up conversion disorder, there's a subterm with, and seizures follow that. An ICD-10-CM guideline states that the term with indicates that the two conditions are associated when they're documented on the same patient unless the documentation clarifies that they are not associated.
Thank you. That was very helpful. Okay, so I've got another anonymous question. Yes, we got time for one more, right? There's a physician assistant, PA, working under general ortho physician and sees the patient and refers to the orthopedic surgeon. The same PA also works under the orthopedic surgeon and does a pre-op after the orthopedic surgeon sees the patient and determines the need for surgery.
Right. So in this scenario, if the orthopedic surgeon is practicing under a different recognized subspecialty than the general orthopedic, they would both bill a new patient visit, or the board-certified orthopedic surgeon could bill a consult if it's appropriate and the rules for billing a consultation were met. Of course, that's for non-Medicare patients. The pre-op visit is typically not billable since the decision for surgery, which you would be billing with the modifier 57, has already been made and the patient is technically just returning for pre-surgery paperwork. This visit is included in the surgery itself. If there is medical necessity, i.e. for an unassociated reason or complication prior to the surgery, to see a patient prior to the surgery and that medical need is documented, it may be reported under the performing or supervising provider. If another specialty needs to see the patient prior to surgery to perform surgical clearance, that could also be reported as a consult for non-Medicare patients, provided that the documentation supports that service, meaning that it was requested or it's performed to render an opinion or advice, and the response to the requesting provider is then documented. Now, typically, these clearances would be provided due to the patient's medical condition and by specialties like internal medicine or cardiology for surgical clearances. Now, of course, if the general orthopedic physician has already seen the patient previous to the visit where he refers to the surgeon, he would bill an established patient visit. If both the general orthopedic and the orthopedic surgeon are board certified in the same specialty, subspecialty and same practice, once one of them sees the patient, then all other visits by both are considered established unless they both cease seeing the patient for 3+ years.
Well, thank you for clearing that up for us. I appreciate that. Now, we're running out of time, so we are going to mug someone, and I think it's really fun when we get to do this. All the non-anonymous names went into a pile on my desk, and so there's only one of them, so that was real easy. I didn't have to shuffle. Congratulations, Ida. You have won again, so we're excited to send you another mug for your collection. I don't know if you're sharing these or if you're just collecting them for you, but that's such fun. Please send us some more questions, Ida and everyone else, and also your comments. We'd be interested to hear your thoughts and the topics that you'd like to consider. Do say if you have a question and you don't want it, your name attached to the question, send us the details and write your question. Just say you want to be anonymous. So the next episode is going to be 2 weeks from today on September the 23rd. Oh, my goodness, it's fall just about. It'll start at 10:10 Eastern, and we appreciate you telling all your friends. We're excited to see you on the next episode of Coffee with Decoder.